What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where you can hear the life stories behind the people on social media. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. And today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is, where I sit down and I talk to you about the most recent podcast episode of the week. And today we're discussing my conversation with K1 Shaban. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to my full podcast with K1 yet, make sure you go back and check that out. It'll be the episode right before this one. You have a little bit more context before we dive into some of these takeaways. I understand that some of you listen to this because you don't have time to listen to the full interviews and you're looking for a quick, short, digestible summary of that episode. And so if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, K1 is a photographer, videographer, and digital artist. He started selling his digital art. What I mean by digital art is he creates scenes on a program called Blender. It's completely digitally rendered, digitally created. And he just takes objects and he shapes them. And it's hard to explain how it works, but essentially he just creates, essentially, let's look at it this way. It's like modeling on your computer. So he creates digital models and he sets up the scenes and he sets up the way he frames it. And he takes a photo of this digital model that he's made. And I personally am a big, big fan of his work. My favorite, he's done a couple different pieces now, but my favorite one that he's ever put out is called The Mission 2. So I'm a big fan of that. So I was excited to get him on the podcast because I really like his work and he's doing some cool stuff in the NFT space. And I'm starting to get a little bit more interested in crypto and NFTs and things like that. And so I was stoked to get him on the podcast. And I think kind of where I want to start with that then is just the fact that I got him on the podcast, and really the takeaway is the power of the internet. Because we did this podcast on Sunday, October 3rd, and K1 was sitting in his home in Warsaw, Poland, originally from Kurdistan region in Iraq. And I sat in my home in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and we recorded an interview for over an hour. I just think that's crazy. I know you could like do that with phones and stuff. We were able to record, we were able to see each other. The power of the internet is just, can be mind-boggling sometimes. I know it can be a dark, scary place sometimes, but it can also be just this magical world that, like, how does this even exist? When you really sit back and think about it, we're on opposite sides of the world, and I interviewed him for an hour, you know, and his English was very, very impressive considering the fact that those two countries that I listed that he used to lived in and currently lives in, neither of them are English-speaking countries. Iraq and Poland don't speak English as their primary language. So K1 learned English through the internet, through Facebook groups, and just trying to get out there. And that's how he learned the language. And I think that's crazy. And just the amount of things that you can do thanks to the internet today is just mind-boggling. And I really think we need to take better advantage of it. The internet is just, the internet's powerful. It's powerful. Again, I understand there's drawbacks to it, and you should take some time away from your computer and away from the internet and go outside and be in nature and be in the world. But man, it's just crazy the things you can accomplish. Like, look at K1's story for a minute. Like, he was born in Iraq and now he sells digital art online and makes thousands of dollars doing it. Without the internet, he's not making that kind of money. He's changed his life because of the internet. And I just think that's incredible. That was my biggest takeaway. It's like, man, like, how cool is that, that we did that? Other sides of the world, just the power of the internet. There's so many amazing things you can do with it. That's my first takeaway. And my second takeaway, kind of speaking about NFTs, K1 was talking about how he's working on a roadmap for his NFTs. And if you're not familiar with the world of NFTs, a lot of these projects that come out, they'll put out a roadmap and essentially lay out their plan for this project that you're buying into. And it's very common. It's what a lot of NFTs do. And K1's, a lot of artists don't typically do that, but he's trying to lay out a roadmap for his work. And it got me thinking, like, why do creators of NFTs lay out a roadmap, but other creators don't? I mean, I think ultimately we're going to get to a world where creators and NFT creators are the exact same thing. And I think a lot of creators should be looking at NFTs and how they can get in on the space. But why don't creators lay out a roadmap for where you're taking your content? You know, all these people are following you. You should tell them where you're going. These people are along for the journey, but they don't know where they're going to. And maybe you don't know where you're going to either. But with that, it's hard to understand where you're going to go, how to get somewhere if you don't know where you're going. And so I think it would be important for you to take the time to look at your, to evaluate everything, evaluate your life, evaluate your content, and ask yourself, where is this going? Where do you want it to go? and kind of lay out that roadmap. And again, it's not necessarily calling your shot, like this is what's going to happen, but this is where you'd like to be heading. And this is your plan, you know, and NFTs, they have different road or different benchmarks. So when certain things happen, that unlocks another part of the roadmap and different things like that. Like maybe, for example, 50% of our NFTs sell will make merch available. But it's got me thinking, like, why don't regular creators put out roadmaps? And I think that's something that they should do. I also think creators should also get involved in the NFT space because it could be life-changing, as we've seen talking to K1 here. But even if you're not, figure out what that plan is, what that roadmap, where are you going? Where do you want to go? Figure that out because it's important. And if you tell your audience too, your audience is going to be more excited because they're going to know what they're following you for. I mean, obviously they're going to follow you because they like you and they like your content. But if they know that there's like a greater mission, then that can also incentivize people to stick around longer because, you know, as creators, people will always come and go from following you. So if you can lay out kind of a roadmap and say where you're heading, it gives people something else to support beyond just you and your content. They're supporting this mission, this journey that you're on. And it also can help your audience help you get there. If they know where you're trying to go, you have up to million, if you're a bigger creator, but even if a smaller creator, you could have thousands, hundreds, thousands, or even millions of people who now know what your mission is in life and can help you get there, right? And so I just think that more artists should be laying out a roadmap for where they want to go and not just NFT artists and NFT projects. I think something that's all artists, I mean, all people really, but especially creators, have a roadmap for you and your content and share that with your audience. I think it's going to benefit everyone. And now, speaking of creators and artists, K1 said something that I really, really liked on the podcast. I like it stood out to me as soon as he said it. And he said, this is in regards to his working on his art. He said, if you do it for 8 hours a day, you'll make a really good mistake eventually. And I just love that idea of a really good mistake because mistakes and failures are often viewed as such negative things, but he's spun it around into it can be a positive thing. And the more and more you work at something, and what he's referring to with mistake there is when he's working on one of his art pieces, he might do something incorrectly, but then stop and look at it and realize he likes that a lot better. But then, so it's more so not, maybe it's, I don't even, maybe kind of talking through now, I don't know if mistake's the right word. I just like, but I think the sentence, if you do it for 8 hours a day, you'll make a really good mistake. It can take the pressure off from you as a creator, understanding you're going to make mistakes and some of them might be beneficial. But what he was referring to in there is just like, for example, like you might get into a piece, an art piece and realize halfway through that the direction you're taking it is wrong. And you take it in a different direction. And I kind of relate to that with my screenwriting. Like there's been scripts where I thought I've had the script laid out in my head. I've kind of written it all down there. I've outlined the entire script and I get halfway through and realize, oh, this doesn't make sense. And I take it in a different direction. And I think that that's okay. You know, I think that as you go through art, as you do it, you're going to learn as you go. You're going to figure out, like, you're never going to know, especially when it applies to art, whether it be scripting or digital photography or making a movie, videography, whatever it might be, you're never actually going to know what the proper way to take something is until you actually see it. And that's why it's so important to get these ideas out of your head and onto the page, onto the screen, into your, whatever your workspace is. If it's a Premiere, if it's Blender, where K1 makes his stuff, if it's Final Draft, where I write my screenplays, get it onto whatever, start creating it. Because once you start creating it, you'll understand where you've gone wrong, where you've gone right, what's working, what's not working. And eventually you might even make a really good mistake. And that mistake can change the direction of your project, but it can make it change it for the better. And speaking of making kind of changing your art for the better, one thing I was asking K1 about specifically with his art piece, and more so, I think it's called the Shadow Series, which is where the mission piece falls into, is, like, does he have stories behind, because they're really cool scenes. I highly encourage you to check them out. If you just go to his Instagram at it's K1, K-A-I-W-A-N. I'll make sure it's linked down below if you want to go check it too, but just go look at his art and like, you can tell there's gotta be some story there. You know, it's like a guy in a trench coat with a wide brim hat standing in front of a burning car, or on the side of the road or in the desert. And just it looks like there could be a story there. And so I asked him, like, does he have the story behind this art? And he says he kind of has some ideas, but he doesn't like to share that because he likes to keep the art open to interpretation for his audience. And I think that's really, really smart. And it made me think of another thing that Quentin Tarantino does, that, or Quentin Tarantino did slash does, I guess, as it applies to Pulp Fiction. And so what Tarantino says, so spoiler alert, kind of, for Pulp Fiction if you've never seen it. So please make sure you watch it. Well, I mean, this really doesn't spoil the movie in any way. Kind of does. I guess it kind of does. So I've rambled through this spoiler alert for long enough. I'm going to give you another 5 to 10 seconds here because I absolutely hate to get off if you've never seen Pulp Fiction, or just skip ahead like 2 minutes, maybe a little bit more. I just hate when I'm listening to a podcast that has nothing to do with a specific movie and then they just randomly spoil the ending. This doesn't spoil the ending, but I don't like to spoil any parts of movies. So I'm really giving you a long lead up here to jump off this before I explain how this applies to Pulp Fiction, if you even care about having it. It's not even a major thing. But anyways, bringing it back to K1 in Pulp Fiction, final warning, spoiler alert. So in Pulp Fiction, there's a briefcase, and the briefcase is kind of like the center of different parts of the movie, and every time you open it, this gold light pours out of it, but you never actually see inside the briefcase. And everyone's asked Tarantino through the years, like, what was in the briefcase? Why does it shine like that? Da 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 da. And he says he never wants to tell anybody what's in the briefcase, because over the years, as people have watched Pulp Fiction, they develop their own ideas for what's in that briefcase, which allows them kind of, they connect to it in different levels, because everyone has their own idea of what's in the briefcase, and there's no right or wrong answer. And because of that, Tarantino says that every single time someone comes up with their own idea of what's in the briefcase, they're kind of writing their own movie. They're connecting with it in a personal way because they're trying to figure out what's in the briefcase, and they've decided for themselves what they think is in that briefcase. And that changes the movie for them versus someone who thinks something else is in the briefcase. They're looking at almost two different movies at that point. And K1 does the same thing with his art. He likes to leave it open for interpretation, so every single person experiences it in a different way and has a personal experience to his art, versus if he just came out and said, this is what the art, this is the story behind the art, it applies the meaning to it and everyone has the same experience. Now, he's making it a personal experience to look at his art by not telling you what's going on in each of the photos. And I think that's really, really cool. And if there's a way where you can do that with your content, I mean, I know it's kind of difficult here, like using me as an example with the podcast, it's not exactly possible, doable to do here with, especially me just telling you my thoughts. I mean, obviously I'd love to know what your thoughts are. I'd prefer if it be a conversation and we can make it personal in that respect, but any way you can try and make it a personal experience for your audience. And I guess that's a good example of it, is trying to get you to respond and tell me what you think of the interview with K1 and some of your takeaways, or when YouTubers get you to comment down below on their video. It's making it a personal experience as you watch that video. It's personalizing it to you. So any way you can do that, the better. And I just really like, I mean, I wanted to know kind of the story behind it, because I think like just looking at his art, it could inspire a film. And I was like, it'd be really cool to kind of write a screenplay based on one of his photos. And so I was curious if he had some ideas, or like he was working on anything, because he wants to get into film. So I wanted to know if he was working on some ideas based off of his photos, but he says he's really trying to leave them open to interpretation right now. And another quote that K1 said that I really liked was close to the end of the podcast. And he was talking about the importance of getting feedback and feedback from those around you. And this was the quote: I surround myself with people who roast the shit out of me. And I loved that. I loved that quote. I loved kind of the idea behind it. Yes, it's a little bit bold, but I like that it's bold. You know, he's looking for people that give him bold feedback, direct feedback. You know, sometimes as creators, we can get in our own head in two respects. We can be too hard on ourselves, but we can also be too easy on ourselves and think everything we made is amazing. And so we need our friends there that can kind of give us a different perspective. You know, someone that on the outside that didn't spend hours creating the art, didn't spend all this time on it, that can give you that unbiased, that was the word, an unbiased opinion, you know, but you need people that will give you that unbiased opinion, because oftentimes friends and family will tell you something's great because they don't want to offend you. So you need people around you who will help you get better by telling you where you can actually improve with your work. So it's important to surround yourself with people who will roast the shit out of you. And my last takeaway here, guys, we have 5 minutes to make it through this point and get this takeaways episode below 20 minutes. If you're new here, I've been trying to get these takeaways to under 20 minutes for weeks now, and I've never done it. So we are on track here. I was really trying to stay dialed in with this episode of the takeaways. So my last takeaways here is that K1 said that so many people start making art because they want to feed the audience, but I don't want to feed the audience. I want to create what I love. And I think K1 is one of the very few people in this world who's able to do that, who's able to create something that they want to create. But I think the lesson there is that there's going to be an audience for whatever it is you want to create. You just have to find them and they have to find you. And it's not always going to be easy to do that. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of time, but don't just make something to feed the algorithm. I think I understand that if you have the audacity of building an audience, that's going to be part of it. Like there, that's going to be a factor for sure, because you have to make sure that you're not, the distribution matters at the end of the day, but also make sure that you're distributing something you're proud of. I think that's so key, is make sure you love the art you're creating. Make sure you love the content that you're putting out, because if you hate it, the effort's not going to be there. You're not going to want to distribute it properly because you're not even going to be proud of your own art. So obviously one, yes, pay attention to the distribution and make sure you're getting your work out there in the proper ways, but also make sure you love the art. And don't start with the algorithm in mind, start with the art in mind and go from there. But speaking of going from there, I'm excited to see where K1 kind of goes from here. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of his art. I was really excited to get the chance to talk to him on the podcast. I had him for an hour here. I mean, we could have kept going for like another half hour at least, maybe another whole hour. But I'm glad we got him on the show for an hour. He has a really interesting story. Again, just so crazy. He's from Iraq. I'm from Canada. He's living in Poland. I'm in Ottawa. And we had this awesome, awesome interview. I highly recommend, if you haven't checked him out yet, I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can learn more about K1 and see some of his awesome art. If you want to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. If you did enjoy today's takeaways, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. I put up brand new interviews every single Monday, and a brand new takeaways episode is an audio exclusive where I sit down and break down the most recent podcast episode of the week every single Thursday. And as always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. Thank you once again for listening, everybody. We'll talk soon.